with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Hello, welcome to Daytime After Dark. Today's guest is the wonderful Judith Salmon from Y&R fame. And Center Hospital and Days of Our Life and a bunch of other ones. She's been in so many good things. And I really miss Gloria on Y&R because after what her two kids have been through this year, it's we need her back. And let's see. Hold on for a minute. 859, you're on the air. 859? Okay. 402, you're on the air. I'm in 6-0. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Judith Chapman.
Oh, God, thank God. No,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but UPR? Yeah, I can hear you great. UPR person said you were calling in from a different area code, so that's why I did that.
I am. I'm calling you from California.
I love California.
Where are you?
I'm Seattle. I live in Seattle.
All right, we're both on the West Coast, though.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, is this Carly?
Yeah, it's Carly.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Carly. How are you?
Oh,
Thank you for having me on.
I'm going to try not to have a fangirl moment. But you've been on everything. You've been on Days. You've been on Zenner Hospital. You've been on Y&R. You've been on all the nighttime shows. But
yes.
I love how vocal you have been lately. I'm so proud of you. And you're right. I agree with everything you've been saying.
Thank you. Thank you. I just, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You go ahead.
If you didn't want to talk about it, that's okay. But, you know, when
I have no problems talking about anything. And I think it's time. There's a wonderful film called Network. And one of the lead actors, the wonderful Peter Finch, who's no longer with us, but his character is a very angry broadcaster, and I'm not comparing myself to the character, but he has this great line that just says, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people finally get mad as hell, they start standing up and letting their voice be heard. And since it's pretty clear I have no future and have not had it Young and the Restless for some time, I, as an outsider, even though I'm a lifelong actress and have done so many soap operas over the years, I feel, and I've always been a rather opinionated person anyway, so I feel very comfortable talking about it. And now I'm new to the world of tweeting and Instagram, but I'm
mm-hmm.
doing that now with a little help from my friends who are teaching me. But to hear that there are no daytime Emmy Awards this year.
I know.
They are not to be mm-hmm. televised. I mean, and this, I've been tweeting about it and posting it on Facebook. And the thing is, Carly, I don't know if, I mean, it's, I'm sure fans, friends of these shows, all of the shows, not just soap operas, know what's going on. Y'all, everybody's pretty savvy about what the behind
yeah,
the scenes.
People.
But every year,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, they're not going to televise it. Nobody wants to pick it up. But this year, it seems really serious. And
mm-hmm.
it's just such a loss. And a shameful loss.
Yeah, and with, I used to be able to interview PR people on Young and the Restless a lot. And
yeah.
for the past 2 years, I've been blackballed or something. I don't know what I did to them, but I cannot get any of, like, Kristoff back on my show or any one of the Y&R stars because they all gagged over there. I believe they are, gagged from going on any blog talk show. I really think that. And
well, I can't answer that. I have no information because
mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to anybody from YNR in a long time.
Well, I
so
know.
I it's unfortunate, you know, but I doubt you did anything to offend anybody. I would hope
well,
not.
Well, yeah. And we, you know, I when you first came on YNR as Michael and Kevin's mom, I'm like, oh, a nice set of breath ale. And I know you came on YNR for a couple of days to play Geo, didn't you? Didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, oh, but that was,
okay.
That was so many years ago. That was back in the early 90s. Yeah.
But everyone
was,
loved
it. It was only because Jess Walton had gotten very ill, and so they asked
oh,
me to
okay.
come in and fill in for, which happens on soaps all the time. Michael Learned stepped in for Jeannie when she was out for a couple
mm-hmm.
of for a month or so. She wasn't in good health. And so, you know, that happens. But, no, that was no big deal. It was just a day or two.
Okay,
because
but when you came on the screen as Michael and Kevin's mom, I loved it. And then you
yeah.
still have this crazy relationship with Jeffrey with, oh, my God, you guys are so good together.
I
you
know.
Guys are
and
so
I...
hot. You know, and that's
Ooh.
The word I can
oh,
use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
he had, it was a very special, and for him to play the twin brother William and have the
mm-hmm.
rather uptight Gloria, or not for uptight William and rather footloose and naughty
mm-hmm.
Gloria because he had poisoned the cream at that point. And but then she genuinely fell in love with him, and to lose him and then have the crazy twin show up. I mean, what a tour de force for Ted Shackelford. It speaks to what a great actor he is. And we just laughed. Well, for William, it was a little more serious, but when he became Jeffrey, he really became Jeffrey. So we had a lot of laughs all day and are still great friends. I just spoke to him a couple of days ago.
Oh, well, tell him I said hi, but you
I
know
will?
what I loved about you know you came in town and finding new kids Kevin and Michael, and then
yes.
he came in town and he didn't know his doll Chelsea was his doll, and it took me yesterday to figure out. Wait a moment, Kevin and Chelsea are stepsister. I'm like, oh my God, it took me a while to figure that
well,
one out. And I used
not- Half sister. I think it would make her his half sister
mm-hmm.
if they. No. Stepsister. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know because they're not married. I don't know. I haven't watched the show in a while, so I turned it on. I talked to a radio a couple of days ago, and I said, you know, I don't watch the show. I mean, I'm very busy, and I have other things. But I actually turned it on yesterday. And I didn't recognize one person and until Amelia came on, Victoria, the
yes.
daughter, Newman's daughter. And then I went, oh, they're okay. But it's the nature of soap operas. But I think the beauty and the tradition of soap operas and what makes it survive, and not a single nighttime show has ever, will ever survive as long as our daytime soap operas and
mm-hmm.
daytime dramas have or will.
Yep.
It's just not going to happen. And part of that is the tradition that and the family ties and the unit
yep.
and the locations, that whether the homes. I mean, burning down the Newman room, you know, changing. So it's a lot of tradition that you know, people say, oh, I watched it with my grandmother, my mother when I was a kid, and now when this generation watches it, they won't have any connection to the history, the real story of the backstory, we call it in show business, of these
well,
characters
yeah.
and their homes. Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Very
and
sad.
My grandma loved you. She's so shy. I tried to
okay.
have her call in, but she's in her 89, but she loved you over on Days of Our Life. And it was so many years ago, but you and Raleigh Chris were really good. Okay, were you mother and son? Oh, were you high lovers?
No,
I
know. We were lovers. We were lovers. I
oh, okay.
I was a little older than him, but I had the good fortune to go to the 50th anniversary of Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with a friend John Wood, who knows all things soap operas, and I said, John, you're going to have to just whisper in my ear who everybody is, because I'm not sure I'll remember anybody, and I certainly know they won't remember me. Well, we had barely gotten there. We were on the red carpet, and these interviewers, you know, magazines and photographers and radio and whatnot. Judith, talk to us. And I was like, oh, my God, they remember me. And Wally came running around the red carpet and just grabbed me and gave me the big hug. It was just like old home week. It was wonderful. And then the costumers and the stage managers and the producers. So it really was wonderful, because that was one of my favorite shows at that point to have done. And I was very sorry when the Ken Corday, the producer, we all walked into his office, and he let me go. He let Wally go. He let a whole handful of us go.
Mm-hmm.
And but I really loved Angelica. So you tell your grandmother I liked her too. And Gloria was just a sort of another version, but she didn't have the money and class that Angelica
did.
Well,
no, but... I mean, but I love your relationship on YNL when you guys were in scene with Calhoun and Jill. I love those moments that you got to play.
And for you
to not come back for Calhoun's funeral, that's what I got
really. You know, I'm doing a play right now. I do a lot of theater and directing, and I create. When I started on YNR, I realized there were so many good actors on YNR.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started something called the Troubadours of Daytime. It was my own theater company. But using all these brilliant actors, Christian LeBlanc, Kevin Reichard, Michelle Stafford, everybody. And we did plays that I pretty much would direct and produce and sometimes act in to raise money for different organizations. So I'm very proud of that. And there was a point to my story. Oh, right, sorry. But I am doing a play now with Michael Fairman, who played Catherine Chancellor's last husband. We're doing it in the desert. And we talk about it, that he, as her husband, did not get invited, the actor didn't get invited to go to the memorial as Murphy, her husband. Because he had a broken leg. That's how they wrote it out.
Oh, I know. It made me mad.
Michael and I laugh a lot about that. In rehearsals, I said, yeah, you know, this woman's a billionaire. She knows every royal family and political powerhouse in the world, and only about 12 people got to go to her memorial.
Whether
they don't want to spend the money, they don't have any respect for the traditions, for the storylines that have been established over years. Very sad. But then her own husband didn't even go to the funeral.
Yeah. When you see him next on your play, can you tell him, because I don't think he's on social media, I would love to interview him. I love Murphy on YNL. He was one of my favorite guys, and he just did an awesome job with everything he got handed to him over at YNL. And I would love to have him on the show.
He had a wonderful recurring character on Sons of Anarchy, the motorcycle gang one. And he was so good. But he still works, and he's not a spring chicken, but he is still one of the sexiest, best looking older gentlemen I've ever seen. And a brilliant giving actor.
I have to bring on my two hosts because I know we're on time constraint. But, yeah, if you can tell Michael about the show and tell him he has an open invitation, because we love him. And, you know, I'm going to fight for Gloria to come back. I can do this.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let me bring on my host, Tony.
Hey, pleasure talking
Hello.
To you, Carly. You take care.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she's not going anywhere. She's just going to sit there for a few minutes. Judith Chapman, hello. How are you? This is Tony.
I am fine, and this must be Tony.
Mm-hmm.
This is me for sure. First, am I coming through all right? We had some audio issues last night with Tino.
Held the phone away and turn up the volume. But I hear you fine.
Okay, great. I you mentioned the, just, and I noticed too, because I think I connected with you on Facebook maybe a year or so ago, and I've not communicated very much with you, but I've noticed that the, and that's my bad. I've noticed that there's so many of the, I've noticed that so many of the people that I've gotten to know who are so down to earth, actor wise, are invariably end up being the soap opera actors. They are just incredibly so unstuck up, if that makes sense. They're so down
yes.
to earth.
Yeah. Well, there and I have theories about that, Tony. First of all, I think we're the hardest working people in show business. I have had the good fortune to do it all: feature films, nighttime. In fact, Michael Farrum and I were just talking the other day at rehearsal yesterday, and he was saying when he brought his son to a set. He was doing some film or television show, and he sat there for, and the kid sat there for 8 hours before Daddy did anything. He said, "Daddy, I never want to do this. This is boring." It was like, yeah. But soap operas, you go to work. You don't have time to be snotty. Let's put it that way. You don't have time. Mm-hmm. And if you are, shame on you. Some of them are, you know, that which, and they will go unnamed. But I absolutely agree with you. I think the interaction for with soap opera actors, with the fan base, and I like to call them the friends of the show, is remarkable. It's remarkable. It's so open. And that's when I did my first soap opera, when I first moved to New York out of college, was As the World Turns. And I went to one of these fan convention things, and it blew me away. It blew me away so much I ended up doing a documentary film about it, my first documentary film. And because I said, these people are coming from all over the country to see me. I mean, what's the deal? Not just me, of course, but to see, spend an afternoon with us. I mean, we're just actors. We're doing our job. I had the most remarkable, when I was doing Vivian for several years, it happened at one weekend when I premiered in L.A., it happened to coincide with the, every 2 years they have a big Young and the Restless event and Bold and the Beautiful event on the same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made arrangements for anybody who was coming to town to get a really good discount on the tickets. I sold tickets in Belgium. I sold tickets in France. I sold tickets in Italy for my little play. Now, I call it my little play, my Vivian. And it's for them to come. And it was so great. It was doubly great because Joan Rivers happened to be in the audience that day. And so we had, I knew she was in the audience. And so I had made arrangements for there to be a little wine and cheese meet and greet after for all these fans who had not just come from L.A. or around the country, but from around the world to come spend an afternoon with all of us Y&R actors, our television actors. And it was the most extraordinary thing. But the next day, it was the Bold and Beautiful event, and John McCook was coming to see Vivian at the matinee. It was a Sunday matinee. And he's trying to get out of the Bold and the Beautiful thing. It was almost over, to come down and see the play. And he's calling from the car. And he said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'll be there. I'm on my way. And I said, hold the curtain. Hold the curtain. We are wait. I don't care if it's 20 minutes. I don't care if it's a half hour. We are waiting for John McCook to come. And he's going to get the biggest applause of the afternoon. And it was true. So they made an announcement that John McCook was on his way from the Bold and Beautiful convention. And he came in, and the audience just roared. I mean, all the fans and friends who knew him. So that was a very special, special weekend. But fans from all over the world. So we interconnect with them, so them far more so than the ivory towers of you know, the TV show, the nighttime TVs. They work very hard. They keep long hours, but they don't have the face-to-face time as much that we do in daytime.
I'm watching the clock here.
I hope that just chewed your ear off and answered your question a little bit, Tony.
I'm
remembering all these wonderful things. Yeah, Joan Rivers was fabulous. I have pictures of us, and then, but after she stayed, and she was so gracious. She stayed for the wine and cheese tasting after the show and met a lot of these fans. So they were just, you know, doubly thrilled.
Well, you know, you are probably one of the quintessential what I call working actors, and I know what that means because I'm on the other side of the camera. I've also done stage here in Sacramento. In fact, one of the most well-known people here, Charlie Holiday, used to be on from time to time almost every soap there ever was, and he taught me one of the greatest things. Before I got to know a lot of you guys on social media, he taught me like what it meant to be a soap opera person. You've got to be able to go in, nail it, do it, put the thing down, pick up the next script, and go to the next one.
Exactly.
And that is such a craft. And I, as an actor, I get it. I couldn't do it. Not in my age. There's no way. But I recognize it.
Well, not a lot of people can. And it is. Thank you for acknowledging that it is that we do work so hard, and that every once in a while they'll do what they call stunt casting, which is I think highly insulting term. But it's they bring in a big film star or somebody from prime time or something to come in, and they're just like, how do you do this? What do you mean I've got to learn 40 pages by tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, well, welcome to our world.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard Liz Taylor actually did that on GH, that she was flubbing lines right and left. I don't know.
That was a little before my time of being there. But maybe they gave her some cue cards. Who knows? I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, Liz, can you speed it up a little bit? We got more scenes to do here today.
Well, I predict that you are going to do fine on social media. Like I said, I've gotten to know an awful lot of people, and it's, some of them have actually broken through the barrier, so to speak. I don't want to mention any names, but one is a very dear friend of mine. She's been to my house. We've had lunch several times, and is a well-known star. But the fact that the social media thing opens the door and allows that to happen. So I'm glad you're on it. I know you're going to do fine if you're having trouble with it. It's all technical.
Oh, half of this I'm making jokes. I mean, I do. I'm not computer savvy at all. And, it's like, God, I finally figured out text. What the hell is Instagram, Anyway, so
right.
Please, I take a lot of tongue-in-cheek when I say this. But I do have a gift of gab, and I think and I like to write, and I think I'm rather clever sometimes. Mm. So hopefully people are slightly amused by some of my comments and anecdotes.
And Judith, if you ever went into John McCook, I want him on the show. I love my John McCook.
Oh, come
and
on.
I thought if when you were over at Bowdoin the Beautiful for about 1 or 2 days, I'm like, they could do Eric and Gloria.
I know.
I was sipping you two there for that. But, yeah, if you ever get a chance to see him, tell him he's more than welcome. And I better let Maggie on. Hey, Meg.
Hi. Hi, Judith. Hi, everybody.
Maggie.
Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. Thank you.
Maggie's in Chicago.
I'm going to be in Chicago in September.
That's what I wanted to find out. Are you bringing Vivian?
No.
No?
No, I'm bringing Vivian. I'm doing several of us, not just me. We're doing a big fan event in Chicago in September. I can't remember
really?
Who. Yeah. So I will be bringing a lot of Vivian paraphernalia. I mean, posters and programs and things. But no, I think for the time being, never say never, but I think for the time being, I did Vivian for 4 years and, touring the country and two productions in L.A. and two productions in Atlanta and two productions in Florida and on and on. And I just think it's,
Vivian Williams burns out.
Vivian, I did it around the time of her centennial, her 100th birthday, and continued on for another 3 years. So it's... But I loved it so much, and I don't know. Don't plant the seed, Maggie. Don't plant the seed. I'll say, I got a free month. Let's do that again.
Because we have wonderful theaters here in Chicago.
Oh, I know. And the wonderful little film that I did in Michigan called Saugatuck Cures, the producer of it, the producer-writer, J. Paul Deratani, the hotshot lawyer in Atlanta, and Chicago, But he's also he also wrote this film and that he asked me to do, and I was in it. So I'm very looking forward. I've been to Chicago. I've eaten at the Pump Room. I was doing a tour of Midwest, whatever, cities. And when I was on General Hospital, and I had so much fun in Chicago. It is such a great town. So I'm really
we're very loving.
Forward to it. And I said, Jay, I'm going to call Jay and say, Jay, you got to have a party for us.
Yay, but, please, come back.
And we have a party.
Come back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I've loved you for years. My highlights of your career were Ezra Turns.
Oh, my God. Well, this, you know, it just warms my heart because, you know, the old adage. And I do have so many projects going, and I am so fortunate. I am so energetic that I can create my own projects. Vivian, I create it. I just write it. I found it. But, you know, it's an... you think people forget, so it's very heartwarming. It makes me feel very good that people remember Gloria and would like her back.
I love her.
How many women can have two such alter egos? Gloria Bardwell and Vivian Leigh.
Vivian
Leigh. Come on. Come on.
Well,
there's
only
a little
you.
Schizophrenic here.
You're so brilliant. That's why you can do it.
There you go.
I wanted to warn you. If you watch Young and the Restless lately, you know how much your son loves Catherine, right? They read Billy's in the house now, and he redid it. It's not Catherine's mansion anymore.
And we
That's
all checked
what started
off.
This whole thing when somebody
and,
sent
yeah.
me a picture, and I went, "Oh, come on!" I mean, you know, it's the burning down glowworm. Because not to talk politics, I'm not going to go down that road. But every new administration wants to make it their own, wants to tear down the old, build it into their own image. But there's some things I just don't think you mess with. And Bill Bell's brilliant number one soap opera of long standing and these exquisite storylines and family lineage. And is to just negate them as if they never existed is really criminal. It's really sad. But I think it's so interesting that the current powers that be at Young and the Restless have fired, not just gotten rid of people like me or, you know, other actors. How many are over actors are on a General Hospital, but all of the wonderful crew and tech people, the artistic backbone of the show, are now over at Bold and the Beautiful. They know a good thing. Jennifer Jones, Herbie Weaver, Joe Bavacqua, the brilliant set designer. I mean, all of these people. Mm-hmm. When I went over there, I was like, God, I feel like I'm on Young and the Restless. But it's they really treat you well here. Look at all these sandwiches they've got for the actors. They really
Bradley
treat
Bell.
Their actors very well at Bold and the Beautiful. So good for them. That's the Bell family.
I remember meeting Lee. She was here in Chicago. She had her show here in Chicago, her little afternoon, morning show. And I remember meeting her years ago. And I go, my God, Bill must be rolling over in his grave.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
I had the good fortune to meet him. He was getting on and was not in the best of health. But I had the good fortune to meet him and see him. And it was the same feeling I had when I first met Gloria Monty, when she called and hired me for General Hospital. Because I told her, I said, I'm not auditioning for General Hospital. I'm not doing a soap opera in L.A. I've done them in New York. Mm-hmm. And she hired me anyway. And it was so fabulous because, you know, my late husband, we had restaurants in Palm Springs. And she and her sister used to come into the restaurant and have dinner. And this was after she'd left Young and the Restless. So this was maybe 15, 20 years ago. And she would come in, and it was so – you knew you were sitting at the feet or at the table with greatness because she'd have a little martini, and then she'd have another little martini, and she would just start telling stories about the early days of television and about how women breaking into the business, and she was one of the pioneers. And it gives me goosebumps now just even thinking about it, thinking back on that. But she would just sit, and and it's the same thing. Some things you just don't mess with. You know, tradition with heritage, and it's very sad. It's very sad.
The top Shackelford and Jeffrey, I mean, I truthfully, when you guys got married, I thought, seriously? But you guys, like, fed off one another.
We had the best time. It's truly, I mean, we laugh about it. I sent him something about the play that I'm doing with Michael Fairman down here. The Outgoing Tide, a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant play. In fact, I've got to get going because I have a rehearsal in less than an hour. But
my love to Michael. I miss him. We got to have
him. He's, as I said, he's the sexiest 82-year-old I've ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah. We would love to
thank
have you
for
back.
Doing this.
Yeah,
thank you
for doing it, and we would love to have you back maybe during the summer or the fall for a longer time.
Well, I don't know. I've got this, you know, now that I've, you know, spent the last couple of years, I have been working so much and touring with Vivian and doing film and doing all this stuff. And I'm planning, in fact, I've got new tires on my car. I've got a brand new windshield. And another month or so, I'm going to get brand new brakes because I'm planning a road trip. I have been working so hard for such a long time. I'm putting my dogs in my car, and we are just going to take off and see where the road takes us. So I'm going to sneeze. Oh, don't sneeze. Please don't sneeze. All right. But I would love to do the show again, but God knows I may be in 10, I don't know, New Orleans in this summer or Florida. Chicago Kentucky.
We don't care, y'all.
That's true. Modern technology. It's pick up a phone. Okay,
I'm going to
cut you short, but it's time to go to rehearsal and get.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Break a leg.
Okay, thank you.
And have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, God. Thank you, Charlie.
That was Judith Summon. And, okay, Tony?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
402, hello? 402, you're on mail. Okay. Okay, and so that was an amazing interview.
thank you for contacting her. I love her.
That's what I'm here for. I really loved having her on.
She's amazing. She's just completely amazing woman. She's played so many different roles, and it's just, she brings herself to each one of them, and I love her.
Tomorrow night we have Robert Newman, and he's coming on at 7. And so, just tune into that. And have a good night, because if Maggie and I and Tony don't rest a voice tonight, we are not going to have a voice for tomorrow. And tomorrow is a longer interview.
Okay. Thank you so very, very much. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, okay. Bye, guys. Talk to you. Tony. Tony, just look up the info on Robert Newman. And, you know, he's been on so many different shows. So,
Okay.
Tony. Okay.
Good night, Tony.
Okay.
Good night to everyone.
Bye.
Good night, guys.